Tonight we will look for the 10th time together in the book of Ecclesiastes. And rather than studying this book verse by verse, we are looking at some major truths that are presented to us in the book of Ecclesiastes. And looking at those major truths, then we are discovering how we can successfully live in a fallen world. Because when sin entered this world, everything changed. And now it is a challenge for us to live in a fallen world. And we have discovered thus far two major truths when it comes to successfully living in a fallen world. Can anyone remember what the first major truth is that we looked at together? Pardon me? All right. That we have to have a proper theology or a proper understanding of who God is if we are to live successfully in a fallen world. And then secondly, we have to understand that the state of everything in a fallen world is vanity. That's the state of everything in this fallen world. It is all vanity. It is all emptiness. It is all futility. And so we have been looking at the word vanity as used here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the word itself has several pictures that it paints for us, that word. And there are various things that we can see picture-wise that demonstrate why it's so empty and why it's so futile and why it's so vain. And Solomon found that whereas wisdom had its advantages, it also had disadvantages, because even though he was the wisest, he still failed to understand certain things because of this whole concept of vanity. And the first picture that we painted, or that the book paints for us last week, was that this word vanity pictures for us a state of frustration. I hope he doesn't mind me using him as a little bit of an illustration right now, but a few weeks ago, Jonathan Coonrod was trying to get some things off of his vehicle as he was trying to fix the brakes. And I could just sense that he was getting frustrated, because no matter how hard he pounded, he couldn't get it off, and the part off that he was trying to fix. And he came across and asked if I had a blowtorch. I do have a blowtorch, but it's up at my camp up north, you know. And so it wasn't going to do him much help to try to do it. So I think he went out and purchased a blowtorch, and he was trying to heat things. But you could just sense after so many hours of attempting to get this that his frustration was growing. Well, you know, that's the experience we have when we look around us and we see certain things in life, and it gives us frustration. And one of the things we discovered last week is the frustration of sensing those things that are profitless, that there's no profit in them. They're worthless. And we had the example here in the book of the man who spent all his time trying to build up his estate. He spent all time investing and doing things, and his whole plan was to pass that on to his children, and then through the workings of some dishonest people, he lost everything, and so the whole sum of his life then ended up being a big fat zero. There was no profit. And that brought much frustration to that heart. And so having no profit is a frustration. Also, Solomon writes about those things that are unsatisfying. Have you ever experienced, and I know you have, but have you ever experienced an anticipation of going somewhere and doing something that maybe somebody else told you, this is really great, you will really enjoy this if you go here, man, it is wonderful, and then you go and you find out that either that person was exaggerating or they have a different idea of what is wonderful and what's not wonderful, because you get there and say, I kind of wasted my time coming here and seeing this. And some things in life are very unsatisfying. There's just no satisfaction there. And frustration is brought about by finding our expectations unsatisfied. And we looked last week at the fact that Solomon did this great big experiment. And there in chapter 2, he went down item by item, looking for satisfaction in this and looking for satisfaction in this. And there's a whole list. And finally, he concluded that everything was vain because there was no satisfaction. And of course, we know that God has made us to understand and long for satisfaction, but that he alone is the one who's going to fulfill that. There is no satisfaction apart from Christ. And so vanity was that frustration that comes when you find what you're working for has no profit. And that where you're trying to find enjoyment and pleasure has no satisfaction. But thirdly tonight, Solomon was frustrated because he looked at life and saw a whole lot of things that were unjust. Have you ever struggled with that concept, that you look at things going on and you find that it just doesn't seem fair? You know? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 18. Here was Solomon's frustration. He said, "Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me." And in a lot of situations, we would say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, here was his frustration. Verse 19, "And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?" He said, here I'm going to spend all this time accumulating things, and because life is so unfair and unjust, I might be giving it to somebody who's just a fool, that's going to waste it all, that's not going to appreciate it, that's not going to take care of it. And you know what? If we look at Scripture, what Solomon feared is exactly what took place. His son Jeroboam was a fool. And so Solomon was worrying and frustrated about something that actually did come to pass. And it brought him a lot of heartache that he really struggled with the fact that someday he would leave all of his fruits of his labor for a fool to enjoy. Let's go over to Jeremiah 5. We're going to come back here, but just a little bit farther over to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 5, verse 21. Here's a description of the foolish. And Jeremiah is saying, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not." And so here's the description we have of the fool. The fool is that one who doesn't have understanding. Have you ever heard somebody described as being clueless? Well, this is talking about somebody who's clueless, you know. They just don't understand. They have no common sense. They're incompetent. And this is the word here for fool. And that thought of leaving your whole life's work to somebody who just doesn't have any common sense, that doesn't have any understanding, that's clueless, brought him much frustration. You heard about the people who are all sitting around waiting for the relative who had just passed away to have the will read. And as they opened up the will, it said, "I, being of sound mind, spent it all." You know, well, maybe that's what Solomon should have done. But, of course, since he was one of the richest men who ever lived, that would be a hard thing for him to do. But he found much frustration at how unjust situations in life can become and how they present themselves to us. And he just found all kinds of frustration because it was vain to experience that. Look at chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verse 21. It says, "For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil." He said, one man in wisdom and knowledge and equity labors, and then the man who gets it has not labored for it. And look at chapter 6, verse 1. "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof." In other words, he gains it all, he gets it all, and then he can't even use it. Why? Because a stranger eateth it. Now, every April 15th, we have that happen to us, don't we? We accumulate, and then it's not really a stranger, but they come along and take a portion, and that's the experience here. This man has labored so much, and then all of a sudden, somebody who doesn't even deserve it comes along and eats what he was planning to eat. This is vanity, he said. This is frustration. And then go down to chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, verse 15. And this will sound really familiar, and in a moment you tell me where else in Scripture this sounds so familiar. It says in 7:15, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? Is it good that thou shouldst take hold of this? Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." What does it sound like he's also writing a similar passage of Scripture to? When he says there in verse that a just man perisheth in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Do you remember the psalmist who in Psalm 73 was all frustrated and fretting because the wicked seemed to prosper and the righteous seemed to lack, and he was all frustrated about that? Well, this is the same experience that Solomon is seeing here. He sees that the righteous seem to be cut off too soon. It says he perisheth in his righteousness. He cut off. His life seemed to be shortened. And then the wicked man seems like he goes on. Have you ever understood that and seen this? I'm sure you have. I have seen it. Someone who is so careful about their food that they eat and their diet and their exercise, and they try to take care of themselves and get the right amount of rest and everything, and they seem to all of a sudden just die, and we think way too soon. And then we find people who never take care of themselves and eat terribly and just don't take care of their bodies, and they seem to last into their 90s, you know. It doesn't seem right, does it? It seems to be unfair or unjust. And that caused Solomon some frustration, some vanity in his mind, that he saw all of this. And so in his picture here of vanity, it pictured frustration. Frustration at what's profitless, frustration at what is unsatisfying, and frustration at what is unjust. And that is a full picture of life under the sun in a fallen world. It is profitless, it is unsatisfying, and it is unjust. Solomon was discovering that. Now, we have two choices when we look at this and how we can respond to things that are unjust. We can chafe. What does chafe mean? Yeah, just a little illustration. Our dog, Willow, whenever we take her up to the camp, unless the river is frozen over, she gets out of the van, and minutes later, she's in the river. So when we first get up there, if I remember, and I don't always remember, I have to take her collar off, because in the past, we've left her collar on. It gets wet, and then as she moves around, it chafes on her neck, and she gets a raw spot even on her neck that we have to sometimes doctor up because of the way it rubs and chafes, and it even rubs it raw on her neck. And so we try to take it off and then keep it dry, so when she dries out, we put the dry collar back on her. Well, chafing is very unpleasant. Chafing is irritating. And we can, when we see things that are unjust in life, we can be irritated and frustrated to the point that we become bitter and disillusioned with life. That's one way we can respond. Just become bitter and angry and disillusioned at looking at how that young person didn't even study and they got an A on the test, and I studied and studied and studied and I got a C. It's just not fair. Well, we can look at situations in life and see that life is not fair. And we have to expect that in a fallen world, that life is not fair. And we can get bitter about it, or we can accept that this is how it is in a fallen world, and that we are looking for something better than this fallen world. And even though things are unjust now, we can wait patiently for the day when God is going to make everything right. And we can just wait patiently until he takes care of the unjust things that are going on in this world. Look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Again, a familiar passage of scripture to us. But Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 18. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings, I'm not trying to change scripture, but let's put frustrations. For I reckon that the sufferings or frustrations of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation or creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Why did he allow us to live in vanity? So that we might not want to settle down and be content with this world, that we can look forward to something and have hope in that, because the creature, verse 21, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for. So we can respond to unjust situations in life with frustration and bitterness, or we can wait patiently until the Lord delivers us from this vanity, from this unjust world. And so all of this time, we've been looking at this one-word picture that vanity is frustration. But let's turn to a second one, and these last two pictures aren't quite as broad, but we looked at this earlier just in passing, but another word, vanity, gives us a word picture here in Ecclesiastes that life is transitory. Look at chapter 6, verse 12 of Ecclesiastes. 6:12. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Says, the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. Shadows are transitory. They change, they move, they disappear, they reappear. Life is like that. It's like a shadow that just appears for a little while. We know that James compares life to a vapor that appeareth for a little while. Here, how much substance is there to a shadow? You ever been afraid of a shadow? Now, shadows in themselves don't have substance, but many times that which is making the shadow might have some substance. I know that one time my wife and I were camping in the mountains down in the Smoky Mountains, and we were on a site in a tent, and late in the evening, a man in a great big huge motorhome pulled in on the lot right next to us, and we were already in bed. It was already after 10 o'clock at night, quiet time in most camp situations, and he came out and started clanking all kinds of pipes, and he was unpacking, and he was sitting up, and he had this generator even going at that time at night, and he had lights in his and everything, and we were trying to get to sleep, and his lights were shining on the side of our tent, and I was just about ready to get up and go over and, I hope kindly, ask him to shut up. Ask him to try to be a little bit more quiet. We were trying to sleep. And as I rolled over, I saw a shadow on the side of my tent. And I immediately knew what it was. It was a bear. And so I said to Sue, you know, there's a bear outside. And she said, what are we going to do? And I said, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to stay here and hope he moves on, you know. And a few minutes later, I heard a scream in the campground, and I knew he had moved on. I had a picture in my mind of some lady walking down the path toward the bathroom and met the bear coming up the path, and so she let out a big scream. But, you know, shadows are fleeting. Shadows can't hurt you, but that's what life is like. It's like a shadow that's just there for a while, and then it's gone. And life is fleeting, and it's brief at its best. And that's the picture we have here of that frustration, of that vanity, that it's just transitory. It just lasts a short while. the number of our days are like a shadow. Look at chapter 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. He said, enjoy living with your wife, because life is transitory, life is short. And does God want us to live with joy in this life, even though we are living in a fallen world? Yes, he does. And that's going to be the third major truth we get to eventually. The three major truths are that we have to have a proper understanding of who God is if we're going to live successfully in this fallen world. We have to understand that the state of things is vanity in this fallen world. And we have to understand that God intends for us to enjoy life with him in this fallen world. And so we have this picture, and look at chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. So what does he understand? That all of this is going to pass quickly. I'm going to pick on him a little bit, but Michael, you're going to be 62 this week. Can you remember how quickly childhood passed away and how quickly young adult passed away and middle age passed away? And no, I won't go any further, but life just keeps changing and it moves rapidly. I remember my dad had a lot of little sayings, and my dad said to me one time when my children were young, he said, enjoy your kids right now, he said, because the next time you turn around, they're going to be gone. And that's how fast life moves, and it's brief, and it's transitory, and that can bring frustration and feel like everything's vain. And it is without Christ. It is vain. It's empty. And that's the third picture that we have, that it pictures emptiness. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. You can read the first six verses, but for time's sake. It says, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. What is he saying here? He said, how many of you like to dream? I like to dream about what can be. You know, I'm dreaming about what could happen. You know, how many of you have ever sent in or online entered the sweepstakes, you know, the readers, whatever, Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Anybody ever enter that? You know, if I don't have to pay to do it, you know, and I'm not really gambling then, you know. So I will enter. I've even been known to enter my wife, and she didn't even know it, you know. And I figure maybe our chances could be doubled if we both entered, you know, and so forth. But, you know, you sit and dream about, man, if I could win that sweepstakes, man, first I'd tithe to the Lord, you know. And then, secondly, I could help missionaries, you know, who had and thirdly, maybe I could even go and spend time on the mission field and serve if I could just win the lottery, you know, and just be independent of finances. And what am I doing? I am dreaming here, and look at what it says in verse 7. And I'm also having many what? Words. You know, I make all these plans, and I talk about all these plans, and, you know, and dreaming with many words is what? Empty. It's empty. In other words, he's telling us, don't waste your time just dreaming and talking about it all the time. What should we instead do? Fear the Lord. That's what it says at the end of that verse. Just fear the Lord. Don't spend time dreaming about what could be and then telling everybody about it. In an abundance of empty words, in an abundance of empty dreams, many words originate. Instead, fear God. And if you could look at the verses ahead of this, it has to do with making vows. And you know what this is? It's rash vows made to God in light of your dreams. Don't make these rash vows like, boy, I would tithe if I won the, you know. I have to stop and tell you this. I read of a preacher in Chicago area who used to spend a lot of time preaching against the lotteries. And he spent all kinds of time preaching against them until the day that his wife won it. Then his theology changed all of a sudden. And certainly it's wonderful to look ahead and plan and have dreams that are reality, but it's empty to have dreams and talk about them when we can understand that that's never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. And so the pictures of vanity are frustration, transition, and emptiness. And why spend all our time and energy living for those things? Rather, what does it say at the end of verse 7 there, chapter 5? Fear thou God. Fear thou God. And if we do, we are going to learn the third big truth of this study, and that we can be joyful living in a fallen world. God wants us to be joyful, but we have to find Him as the source of that joy. Let's pray. Lord, we have Solomon as an example of one who contemplated life in a fallen world. And he studied and in his wisdom sought to find answers. And in his wealth could do all kinds of experiments, and nothing could hinder him from checking it out. And after he checked it out, his heart was full of frustration because nothing satisfied and nothing lasted forever and nothing gave fulfillment and everything was empty. And he recognized that life is unjust and life is unfair and life is unfulfilling and unsatisfying. And all of those things are true until we come to faith in Christ. Then our relationship with Christ brings us satisfaction, brings us joy and peace, brings us fulfillment, helps us understand how to respond when things are unjust. And so we pray that we might, in this fallen world, continue to focus our attention on the realities of a relationship with God through Christ. Help us to fear God and wait patiently for that day when God is going to do away with the vanity of this world, and we'll forever live with Him. So bless these thoughts and your word to our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing 400.